Pretty amazing time in the Middle East. And as I said in, I think, our last sermon series or the one before that, one of the things that's needed to happen for prophecy in the end times to prevail is for the Israeli people to feel like they're living, got a whole group back here, living in peace and secure in the land. And that's just not something that's ever happened before. But it's happening now, and that's a feeling within Israel. So it'll be interesting to watch that. So I'm going to kick off a sermon series of four different sermons, and I'm going to leave you with a lot of questions today. And to hear many of the answers, you're going to have to keep coming back. So that's the little cliffhanger that I'm going to leave you with today. Have any of you had a bad day? Ever had a bad day? I seem to have them occasionally. And a couple of months ago, before Thanksgiving, now, I own a small business, and I run a small business, and it's the IT or computer business, and everybody has to have everything fixed right now. The world is going to end if their computer doesn't work in the next 10 minutes. Now, I get it, because probably their boss is saying they have to get something done. And everything in business today is right now, immediate. It has to happen right now. But I had had a long day of various people calling me and not happy because their computer didn't work, and trying to get some of my techs out to help them, and me helping them remotely. Plus other things that go along with running a small business, plus things that happen in the family and various news, plus my pretty bride that just walked in is in the real estate business, and it's not the greatest right now. So I'm sure she wasn't having a good day. But by the time I got in bed, I was worn out. I just had not had a very good day. So I laid there in bed thinking a little bit, and a verse came to mind. Now, if you never spend time in Scripture, if you never read the Word, if you never meditate upon the Word, you're missing out on one of the great joys of following Jesus, and that is, the Word is the sword of the Spirit. And if you want God to speak to you, it's not going to come in some vision or a rattling of the house and God speaking. It's going to come to you in a verse that you remember that the Holy Spirit brings up to you in a time where you need to hear that word. It's the way God speaks to you. The verse that came to me was, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." And as I lay there in bed, thinking about that verse, I picked my phone off the charger and went to Blue Letter Bible and put in Psalm 118 to read Psalm 118. Of course, that verse came from Psalm 118, and the author was David. Now, had David had a really good day, and so he uttered these famous words, "This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." Not really. when you delve into Psalm 118, you find something a little bit different. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among the thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness so that I might enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Prophecy about Jesus. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. David is recounting his troubles. David is recounting how people and nations are against them. David is recounting how he cannot count on men or princes to help him, but he can count on the Lord. God has punished David. We all remember David's punishment and his sin, but he counts on the Lord and the Lord's righteousness. He looks forward to the Messiah, to Jesus, the cornerstone. David wasn't having a great day. David was saying, we rely on the Lord, and the Lord is not going to fail us. Therefore, we can rejoice and be glad during good times and during bad times. That's an amazing worldview. David is ruler over Israel, and the fact that he talks about his punishment would mean that this is a little bit later in his life. He had sinned with Bathsheba, sent her husband basically to death in the way he instructed his generals to treat her husband. He had a son with Bathsheba. His son died as a very young toddler, and David grieved horribly over the death of his son. And he recognized, he was told that this was punishment. So we can point this to later in David's life. So laying in bed as I read this and thought about it, my mind turned to his son, Solomon, the next ruler, king over Israel. What was his worldview? And his worldview is summarized in a lot of writing in the Old Testament, most notably Proverbs and some Psalms. But his summary of his life is wrapped up in this incredible book called Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes comes from ecclesia, or the gathering, and Ecclesiastes really means preacher. What is he going to preach to those who are going to hear his wisdom at the end of his life? Excuse me. Something in the ear makes my nose run like crazy. Ecclesiastes is a tough book. And it sums up the richest, wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. It sums up his life view. Now, we know that he was a wise young man. David recognized that and made him king or heir to the throne. And God gave him additional wisdom. So he was the wisest ruler to ever live. And as this month goes on, we're going to look at the life of David and the life of Solomon. Now, we're not going to take a deep dive into that because we'd be here for a year or so. But we're going to take a little bit of a look at what brought these two men, these two rulers, who had such a great impact throughout the Bible, what brought them to these conclusions. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. This is Solomon. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this was also vanity or emptiness. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom and how to lay a hold of folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what had already been done. Then I saw there is more gain in wisdom than in folly. And there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to them both. I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so wise? And I said in my heart that this is also vanity, emptiness. For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life. Because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity.